Welcome back here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR. We're continuing our conversation with Peter Zion, who's a geopolitical strategist, and he's an author. And there, you know, the cutting room files that we've been talking about really present some very serious challenges for Canada, given how the geopolitical environment has changed over the past 7 years. That's what we've been talking about. I want to know, how do we compete? Not just Canada, but how does Alberta compete in this environment? Because we're feeling it very differently in
and
Alberta.
And there is two different conversations there. Yep. Canada as a whole, but Alberta may be different than Canada. So let's kind of figure out what are a few things. So we have Peter Zion. He's a geopolitical strategist and author. Upcoming in the spring of 2020, a book will be called Disunited Nations. You can pre-order, I believe, on Amazon and so forth. This is a very interesting take. I love these types of research, this type of reporting, and more importantly, this type of conversation. Peter, welcome back.
Pleasure to be back.
Okay.
So, and you're absolutely right. There are two different conversations here, because what would make Canada as a whole successful is very different from what would make Alberta successful. So let's start with Canada as a whole, because it's actually a simpler question. With Canada aging into mass retirement, you get to the point that the majority of your baby boomers hit mass retirement in the next 3 to 5 years, which means that the outlay that the government is going to have to make into completely non-productive sectors is just going to be astronomical. It will flat out bankrupt you, which means if you are going to survive this at all, you need to expand the way that you issue debt from both a corporate and a state point of view. And the only deep liquid pool is going to be in New York. So you need a much tighter, much more friendly ties to the United States than you have already. And you need to expand the tax base so that you can keep your educational system and your technological system as close to the cutting edge as is physically possible. It's going to be hard to do that except doing it hand in glove with the United States. And it's very expensive. So you are looking at a starkly higher tax take from the folks who have not retired. And as the percentage of your population in retirement increases so dramatically, this is going to be very problematic for attracting investment. So you have to make sure you spend that money very effectively and change your regulatory structure in a way that compensates for the fact that the tax take is going to have to be higher. It's going to require some incredible coordination and hands-on work by your central government, and your central government is going to have to become much more powerful versus the provinces. One of the problems Canada has always had is it's a confederation, not a federation. The provinces have more power than the center, and that is just not something that's going to work in the environment that you're about to be in. So
well, that sounds
that's
depressing.
What you do if you're in Ottawa.
Is it too early to start drinking?
Well, no, man, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. You know the deal.
So okay. Let's talk Alberta.
The problem you have in the prairies is that Saskatchewan and Alberta are the only two provinces that do not have this demographic structure. Mm-hmm. Which means if you think that these two provinces have been bearing a disproportionate share of the tax burden to keep Canada running to this point, you have no idea what's around the corner.
Well, that'll make everybody happy.
You're going to have to pay. Not only is Ontario now unable to pay Quebec to be in federation, Alberta and Saskatchewan are going to have to pay to keep Quebec in federation. Alberta and Saskatchewan are also going to have to pay single-handedly for the mass retirement of most Canadians in the other provinces, and for this infrastructure build-out, and for this educational expansion. You are looking at nothing less than a Greek-style depression that will knock at least 20 to 30% off of your headline GDP over the next decade. That's the best-case scenario. That's assuming that everything goes perfectly. And that assumes that nobody in the rest of Canada takes shots at your energy industry.
Okay. So let's put you as king of Canada, and you can put some...
You can fix this.
You can fix this. What do you have to do?
King of Canada?
Yep.
Let's put you in charge.
You're talking about a constitutional tweak that vastly increases the power of the center versus the province, specifically so that Alberta and Saskatchewan can never have any say as to how this is done.
Wow.
That's not going to go over well, I suspect.
Okay, and what can Alberta and Saskatchewan do for themselves given this major issue that you're painting for us?
I would say that the traditional Canadian polite way to do this is to have your premiers go to Ottawa and plead their case for a renegotiation of the way transfer payments are handled. And I would argue that the premiers of Saskatchewan and Alberta did that earlier this year, and it failed utterly, because say what you will about Justin Trudeau, he's good enough at math to realize that Canada cannot exist without these two provinces paying in at least the rate that they're paying in now. It's completely non-negotiable from the rest of Canada's point of view. They have to continue taking and taking more.
And so
I want to ask what role immigration plays.
Yeah, good point.
Immigration is great, and it keeps your skill set up, and it makes Canada part of what it is. However, the average age of your migrants are in their mid-40s, and so they never have enough time to pay into the system to pay for their own benefits. So from a financial point of view, it's a net loss. Even if from an economic point of view, it's a net gain.
So how do we switch that? What you're saying, we need to get in a younger demographic of immigration. So again, you're king of Canada. Right. Is there something that you're focused on to coordinate tax and immigration policy and everything else to overcome this wave?
I would say flat out no. The reason why the U.S. gets younger migrants simply is because you can walk to the United States from Mexico and Central America.
Right.
It's a much longer walk to Canada, and anyone else who's coming to Canada is coming by plane, which means that they're going to be richer, which means they're going to be older.
Yeah, fair. Fair. We got a few hurdles to overcome then.
Wow.
Okay, Peter, what advice do you have for anybody listening to this show? As a Canadian.
What is an individual now?
Yeah, what does an individual
do? Beware of?
Again, it depends upon where you are. If you're in one of the provinces in Canada that is aging very rapidly, you've got to give up your provincial proclivities if you want your country to survive in more or less its current form. And that means a almost American-style government. Alternatively, if you're in one of those younger provinces, it is time to seriously consider what you want your economic future to be. Because if you are basically existing as a cash cow for the rest of Canada, everything that it makes you special and richer and more dynamic will go away in the next decade. And it's time to take a page from Quebec and consider leaving.
There you have it. Okay, we're going to have to end it on that very, very challenging point. That'll have people yelling and screaming in their cars and thinking about it. Listen, Peter, thank you very much. We appreciate the work that you were doing. The Cutting Room Files was an interesting read. You've presented some very compelling thoughts that people are, I think, going to be thinking about. I appreciate your time today.
Glad I can help.
Been joined by Peter Zion, who's a geopolitical strategist. He's also an author. We've referenced this, the Cutting Room Files. He's also going to have a book out in March, he said, Disunited Nations, and it talks about, bigger, more than just Canada, but Canada's certainly a big part of it. Okay, my friend, so we've got that backdrop now.
You know, with all this that's going on, potentially this Wexit, the separation, taking a page out of the Quebec playbook, demographics, we're younger on average in Alberta. All these things that keep on coming up, there's some concerns. So what do you do when you're transitioning to retirement over the next 10 years? There's problems coming,
right,
potentially.
Right.
And so what do you do?
Right.
The beautiful thing about how we set this up for our clients and our process is that what's happening in Canada from a investment management, wealth accumulation,
right,
income distribution, all these different things that concerns that people yep. have in retirement, our process and strategy helps them fight this problem.
Right.
So we would like to explain how this process works. We really want to educate you to help you understand what you can do and how you can bulletproof your retirement. So we're going to do that on Tuesday, November 19th, 7 p.m. at the Four Points Sheraton Hotel in West Calgary. You need to reserve your seats. So give us a call at 966-8400. That's 966-8400. This is filling up fast, so you can register by phone or online at morethanmoneyradio.com.
Thanks for tuning in to another edition of More Than Money on 770 CHQR. We look forward to talking to you next week.
David Popowicz and Faisal Karmali are portfolio managers and investment advisors with CIBC Woodgundy in Calgary. The views of David Popowicz and Faisal Karmali do not necessarily reflect those of CIBC World Markets, Inc. Clients are advised to seek advice regarding their particular circumstances from their personal tax and legal advisors. If you are currently a CIBC Woodgundy client, please contact your investment advisor. CIBC Woodgundy is a division of CIBC World Markets, Inc., a subsidiary of CIBC and a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund and Investment Industry Regulatory Organization of Canada.